next episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us.
The goose is there.
Sorry, there's like a goose in the room.
I'm sorry, Goose Shen.
Can you mute? Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Press Start podcast. Press Start Australia's weekly. I don't know if it's weekly anymore, but weekly video game. It'll be weekly soon, hopefully. Weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, James, and today I'm joined by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Brody.
Hello.
And Shannon.
Howdy, all.
Big howdy day. sorry about no episode last week. I mean, there kind of was an episode last week, but I guess...
Yeah, there was no news. It's all happening right at this moment. So.
Trying to organize something with these two donkeys can be quite tough. So,
is that a compliment?
You know? Roosters, then. Geese. Any animal. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Silly ducks.
Anyway, on the show today, we're going to talk about Nintendo's extravagant 45-minute Direct, filled with all the latest games on their lineup, all the latest and greatest from Gamescom, our drag and drive experience, that's how you pronounce it, and our Dead Take reviews. So, first, as is now tradition, we have taken some time to reach out to our community, if that's what you want to call it.
Yes,
lots of response, hundreds even. So we have a lot now, but if you have more, obviously give them to us, but let's just start. This one was sent in by Matt Tilby, and I just realized
friend
I didn't say. Yes. I thought that name was familiar, but I don't know why. So hello, if you're listening. Unpopular gaming opinion. The Simpsons Hit and Run is a buggy, repetitive fetch quest, and people's nostalgia for the show influenced their love for the game. It's not good and never was.
Again, I feel like this is one where I need to have exactly what is set up.
I'm sure James didn't.
I literally just read it.
I need to read it again.
It's all about the font. It's about, did he use italics?
Can you use italics on a Facebook post?
I don't know.
I mean, yes. It's one where it's like, he's not wrong. It is a buggy, repetitive fetch quest game. But I think with a lot of this stuff, like, it is just your nostalgia, and like, it was about like IP and licensing back in those days. So I don't think he's wrong with this one, but I do think it's a good game just because like of what it is. Like, it was like GTA with the Simpsons, right? Like, which
yeah,
still
I had a deep thought about this, which is why I chose it for this episode. And I was 13 when this game came out, so I think it was one of the first times when I played a game and I knew it was worse than the game it was trying to be. Do you know what I mean? Like, just in terms of the way that you kind of hijack the cars and stuff, how it just, like, fades to black and then, like, fades back out, and how the object design was shit. And if you hit people, they kind of just, like, fell over and, like, went all, like, weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is.
I don't disagree with all that, but it was still just really cool to like be in the world of the Simpsons.
Yeah, it's probably a game where the novelty comes first, and you can look past its flaws just because you're driving around in Springfield. I suppose you're driving past the Quickie Mart and doing all these things. It's definitely not the best Simpsons game by any stretch. I think there are better ones.
But, the Simpsons game is probably the best Simpsons game.
Yeah,
the Simpsons game movie. Is very
good. Even with some of the ones on Super Nintendo were good. Like, I love Bart's Nightmare. I love that stuff. But, I think I'm going to give that a good take from Matt Tilby. I think that's a good take. Not controversial. Well, maybe controversial.
I'm not. I think it just goes too far with the end bit because I do think it's good. Like, I still play it and enjoy it quite often.
No, you
don't. It
does
get really hard.
When do you play it? What do you...
I feel like I put it on my Instagram story at least monthly. The Simpsons Hit and Run. Not that you engage with any of my socials, but constantly I'm putting it on.
Once again, you never talk.
It's like the first game I test on any new, like, again, I don't really want to go too far down this path in when I'm speaking.
Allegedly.
But yeah, it's definitely a game that I play. I get his point of it. But I think it's a good game. Like, I'd love them to have another go at it. And, like, we'll remake it and fix some of the stuff.
Nah, if they remade it now, everyone would play, like, the first 3 hours and then drop it.
Yeah, but that's,
it.
Like, anything.
Such a,
that's
no,
that.
It's not. That's
it
not
is.
True.
I just think it is. Like, your memory of how things were are never, like, yeah, how they are in that way.
I think you're saying he's right, but he's not 100% right. I feel like you're mostly agreeing that it's not a great game.
Me?
No,
I don't agree. If you strip away The Simpsons, I don't think it's like a perfect game. But I think that it's
I don't think you'd say it's a good game if you stripped away The Simpsons.
Well, yeah, but you're literally drive. It's like an open world game set in Springfield, and The Simpsons is my favorite show of all time. So of course, yeah, so
that's what we're saying.
Good.
We're saying the novelty gets you through it, but you probably would admit that it's not a good game.
It's worth mentioning the Metacritic for this one is 78.
That's quite high.
Which is a good game. Which is good. Better than good.
That's higher than I thought.
That is higher than I thought. It's higher than it deserves.
What's
in
the
my
Simpsons
humble
game
opinion.
Out of curiosity? It can't be that high.
No, that was solid.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm going to get 73.
71.
Oh. I think like a game of that caliber, like not many of them existed at that time either. So like just that in itself. And I think they made it in like a year or like less than a year. Like they made it in a ridiculous amount of time, which again, like that doesn't speak to like how good it is. But like I agree with it being buggy and repetitive. Like that absolutely it is. I don't, to say it's not a good game and never was is a bit too far for me.
I understand. I've always felt this because everyone doesn't stop talking about it. And like, what? Well, like, you just got to focus on the game, Shannon, not like the situation surrounding it.
No,
or, like,
I disagree.
How your
sorry.
Life might have been at the time. Like, it was an easy time back then. What do you mean, nah?
It was an easy time back then.
Absolutely. We didn't even know each other, for one. That's
just for that alone, I was happy and it was easy.
Yeah.
No. I think we're all agreeing. James is always a little bit more passionate when he doesn't like something than the rest of us, but we can accept it all and move on.
Were we just doing the one?
Do you want us to do another one? I can find another one.
How are we going for time? Yeah, look, if there's a little short one we can do.
Let's just do the whole episode. We should have just done a bonus to make up for last week of
your opinion.
It's almost like I suggested that and nobody listened, but that's okay. Mm. Let's quickly pull another one up. This is always scary when it's live because I'm not going to read it fully. But
and there's you're one, choosing.
There's one from Shannon. I'm not going to read that.
That's not today.
Let's put him on blast.
Joshua Hobby. Large open world games are overrated. When people have limited time to play a game, they shouldn't spend 5 minutes to get from A to B.
as someone who's time Shannon, poor, this- if you will, yes. I don't agree with that. Like... What does he want? Like, does he want a game where it's like literally you fast travel to every action set piece in the game and there's no build to anything? I don't know. It sounds like he just gets bored with open world games and the traversal in them. So, from that respect, in some games, I agree. But on a whole, the spirit of it, I don't agree.
Yeah, I understand. Maybe, like, the set... I'm trying to, like, unpack what they mean by this. Like, maybe they feel that large open world games... are like everywhere. Like there's like a
An oversaturation, yes, but
like a and like the public maybe places a premium on a game having a big open world, maybe.
Well, I suppose there's an equation, or someone might equate having a big open world with lots of stuff to do, therefore value for money and all that sort of stuff.
I think we've all spoken about like open world games not respecting your time a lot of the time, right? I think it just comes down to. What it is, how long it takes to get into it. But I tend to agree. I'm not here to spend 80 hours with open world games or JRPGs.
I just like, I'm not much of a fast traveler in games. So like unless like I'm like super, super strapped for time, but I think it depends on the open world as well. Like I think if you're feeling that time to get from point A to B, maybe that's like a greater problem with that open world. Do you know what I mean?
That's right. And if the open world, it does it well, like say Skyrim, for example, like I couldn't imagine playing that game and just choosing to fast travel everywhere. Cause half of the good, like half of what that game does well is giving you things to draw you off the path as you're going and, you know, keep you engaged with what's happening. So, but yeah, that's not going to be true for all games. There will be games where you feel like you're wasting your time walking through the open world. Like half the time in Assassin's Creed Shadows, I felt like I could have been, I don't know, doing something else, but
yeah, well, that's a prime example. Like I didn't really enjoy running through that world much. Do you know what I mean? Like especially it was so hilly. Like
so I think we can probably say in the case of this take it does depend on the game, but it's definitely true for some examples.
I'm definitely trending towards agreeing they're a little bit overrated, especially now. I think we should leave it there because I have a lot and I don't want to burn through all of them in one episode, obviously. And not everyone is here for that, I don't
think.
Someone's
very passionate about Retro Studios. There's
like yes, I did see that.
About this. Anyway, let's continue on.
That might be a separate episode.
That was just a 40-minute... little to wet your whistle.
A 45-minute episode reacting to that Retro Studios opinion. but speaking of 45 minutes, Nintendo held a 45-minute Nintendo Direct just yesterday about Kirby Air Riders, the next big game from Sakurai, who obviously is very famous for having worked on Kirby games in the past, but also Smash Bros. I watched this live. I think Shannon watched half of it. Brody hasn't. But what did we think? Like, I was kind of expecting... I think I'll start with what I thought, obviously. I was expecting going into this that there would probably be something a little bit more to it all. And that's not to say there isn't still... but I was expecting there to be more than just, say, going over the racing mode and the, like, arena-esque battle mode. And I kind of am surprised that and even Sakurai says this in the Direct, is like, this is so similar to Mario Kart. Are you sure you want me to make it? And they were like, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm watching the footage now and it genuinely looks like Mario Kart to me. Like, I could not tell the difference if you put them next to each other.
Yeah, I think, like, with this Direct, the way that the information was presented is probably the biggest, I mean, issue that I had with it. Like, I feel like all of the shots they showed was, say, like, with one character kind of turning around on a course, like a corner on a course, and it looks a bit boring. but when they jump into the actual battles and you get a gist of how the combat works, like, every character has their own unique abilities. You can steal abilities from enemies throughout the levels and stuff. Like, that looked really fast-paced and really hectic. And I actually think, I mean, maybe this is an unpopular opinion from me. Like, I actually think this looks better than Mario Kart, personally. Just looks a lot more, almost like a fighting game, but, like, mixed with a racing game. Like, you have different abilities and stuff and ways to block them and stuff.
I mean, I think this looks more skill-based. I mean, it's hard to say, but from what I looked at, I think this will be more skill-based than Mario Kart. Not to say that there can't be skill involved in Mario Kart, but I feel like anyone can pick that up and play it, where I think there'll be a bit of a learning curve with this.
Yeah, which is ironic because it's, like, two buttons. So, but I do think there will be, like, a bit more... of a, like, gist to picking it up and stuff. And different vehicles behave differently too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it what the Switch 2 needs at this point?
Well, I don't think so, because then you've also got Sonic Crossworlds, which looks decent. So it's just a big year for kart races, isn't it? I still think it's a weird choice to have this come out as, like, the big holiday game. Yeah, like, November. That period is, like, one of the biggest weeks in game releases, so, like, this is their flagship holiday title, and I mean, I think it's going to be great, but I do think it's a weird one to have after Mario Kart, which, like, a lot of people will be picking their Switch 2 up at that period, right? So it's like, do you want Mario Kart and Kirby Air Riders? I don't know, it's just a bit of a weird one, but, like, there are differences. I did think when I saw 45 minutes there were going to be more differences. Like, I thought it was going to be, like, less racing and more, like, open world action adventure or, like, Diddy Kong Racing-esque. But yeah, to be honest, I need to watch it again and, like, take it all in. But it is a racing game with other elements.
I do like the look at some of the like the party mini games that you can do, like the drag racing and, like, the air dart sort of thing. It looks fun. Like, I feel like that's probably where I'd find the fun in it, not so much the racing.
I think that is the main mode, though. Like, I think that is the because they were talking about I think the idea in that is, say, you spend, like, 5 minutes on that open world map, gathering power ups and maybe even sabotaging other players. And during that time, events can happen in the world that might, say, like a meteor shower or something, like, as an example, something like that. So then at the end of the 5 minutes, then you all jump into those mini games and whatever abilities and shit that you've collected, you can then use to get an advantage, I guess, in those mini games. That's how you win.
Struck me as a bit odd too, because it was like 3 to 5 minutes collecting stuff, and then, like, some of the mini games that took place after that were like throw yourself at a wall that took like 10 seconds. But again, I do trust Sakurai, so
I think there's definitely, like, more to it than meets the eye. And especially, like, this is launching at, I think, 110, so, like, similar price to DK Bonanza. I am keen to see, I guess, if there's more to this in terms of the single player stuff, because the tease at the end is like a new original character who does look like a bad guy.
Was there story modes? Like, I know that there was the big 16-player mode, but that still felt competitive and online. Was there much spoken about in terms of, like, missions or anything for a single-player campaign?
No, like, it was just, like, the air ride mode, which is, like, racing. And then, which has expanded considerably. Like, it used to just be the Kirby's and Dedede and Meta Knight, but now it's, like, Kirby and a whole bunch of characters. I'm looking at the old game. I didn't play it. I played it very briefly. I don't see anything in particular that looks single player orientated. So maybe we're expecting too much. But yeah, like I was down on this at the beginning, and I quickly came around when I saw like a full match being played, of the city trial mode, I think it's called. So. Yeah.
With this being November, where do we think Metroid fits in with all this? Is that likely December?
Well, it's got to be.
Or is Metroid slipping?
I feel like October or December, but.
Nah, Pokemon's October. It has to be December. That was always the rumor.
But, like, they could have both in October.
Nah, I think December. I think they very clearly want one thing a month. And I think the fact that we haven't seen Metroid to me means it's probably later than Kirby, right? Like, just that makes sense.
I just feel like December is like. Sometimes where you
dead,
send games to die.
Yeah, I agree. I still think there's something weird about Metroid, to be honest. Just the way it's just been slotted in really randomly every time it's been shown. There's something odd about it. I mean, we know it's been troubled, right?
I mean,
obviously we trust Retro. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be an awful game, but I think December fits. I think it fits well. I do feel like Metroid... I mean, I don't know. Is Kirby bigger than Metroid? It probably is, isn't it?
I would say... I feel like Kirby, the character as a whole, is a lot... Yeah. Like, there's merch everywhere, right?
I think this, like, could be the Switch 2's, like, big game, right? Like, the graphics are incredible. Like, the mouse controls are fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be December. I mean, who knows with Nintendo? We might fucking get a release date tonight on Nintendo today. Like, you just genuinely don't know.
Are you surprised to see this is Switch 2 only? I think it's good. I think it's like great that they're like kind of just like dumping and running, like in a way. Like
it looked quite graphically intense, and like there's 16 people on screen at once on like an open world map. So I feel like that. Yeah, I think it's. I genuinely think they're looking at every game, and it's like, can it run on Switch 1, or are we going to be compromising the experience? And I genuinely think, like, if there was an ask. The developers with this, I think we would find that it was in development for Switch 1 and then it moved to Switch 2, which I'm here for, because like the Switch 2 is breaking records, it's selling well. Let's just do it.
I agree. I feel like you can't evolve these games.
And this it's a hardcore Nintendo game, I think. It's not a Pokemon in the its reach, right? So I do think it's going to hit day one for Nintendo hardcores, and then
I feel
hopefully
like-
the...
How much did Forgotten Land sell?
Like a few million. I think it was the most successful Kirby game of all time, wasn't it?
8 million, I think it's on now. So
I think with the Switch 2, I've kind of been just like speaking to friends about like what games they play and stuff. And it does surprise me like how little Nintendo gamers, like people that haven't played Kirby or like hadn't played a Donkey Kong game. Like there are definitely a lot of people that just play like Pokemon, Mario, and haven't played like some of Nintendo's other franchises, which I guess is why they're trying to like really bring a lot of these other ones like into their top tier.
I kind of wish they put the first game on Switch Online as well. But then part of me also thinks like that is like, I think the meta is like 61 or something for that. So maybe they don't want to.
Yeah, maybe they don't want to tarnish it.
Yeah, like because this does look like a step above in like practically every way.
Like I know it has fans, right? Like it has a dedicated community of people that wanted a sequel or like some kind of
I think it does, but like everything does these days.
Yeah,
right?
But like, I was surprised like how not good it looked when I was watching it like before I dove into this yesterday. It just looked
like the first
very
air
basic.
It was I think the big gimmick was like you could LAN up like 4 GameCubes and play together. That was like kind of cool back in the day.
Yeah, this is exciting. I definitely, again, like it's a weird one, but I don't think it's like a half-assed thing, and I trust Nintendo and
no,
Sakurai.
No, I agree.
Like
it doesn't feel
we all know Smash Bros, all the stuff it has in it, all the little Easter eggs and menus and little modes and stuff, and this looked to be like that.
Anyway, let's move on to the big event, the question on everyone's lips, so what was announced at Gamescom. So Gamescom has begun as of yesterday, last night. I think the opening night live event has happened. It was 2 hours long. It was filled with a mix of, a very big mix of games. Chief among them, obviously, Resident Evil Requiem, another look at that, Silent Hill F, Lego Batman, which is exciting. Yeah, but not a lot of like super exciting new announcements. I might be missing some, so I apologize in advance.
You watched the whole thing, I assume, James. We hadn't really discussed you watching it, and we haven't really spoken about your watching experience. But how was the show as a whole?
Fine, the same as they always are, you know. Some exciting updates, some not so exciting updates. Games that all kind of look the same, and then they're announced to be coming to like PC, mobile, and PS5. If you get my drift, like net marble games, you know, NC, a lot of shitty MMOs. I assume they have good money to be able to pop up at these things all the time, right?
It was two plus hours in totality, wasn't it?
I think it was like 2.5 hours when you include the pre-show. The pre-show was good, like just a solid collection of little games, including a brand new Bubsy, which is exciting. But yeah, like I thought it was pretty average, and I definitely feel like every 2 seconds they would talk about Resident Evil coming up, and I was like,
"Oh,
fucking
really?
Yeah!" Like
the old bait and switch again,
literally. And then obviously it happened, and it was like 3 minutes. So like I don't know, like what I was expecting.
They kept you hanging. They kept you waiting.
They knew. Yeah. I mean, let's go through it. Like, what really sticks out to? Let's go, Brody. What really sticks out to you?
I went through the list, and as you say, there is a very mixed bag there. A few things that jumped out at me, like there's a couple of cool TV projects that I think look good. Obviously, the Sekiro anime looks really interesting, and the second season of Fallout I think looks really good. I like Justin Theroux as Mr. House. I think that's inspired. So, like, that's cool from a TV perspective, but if we're talking games purely, I'm kind of into this new game from the Ghost Runner team, this Valor Mortis. As someone who is dog shit trash at all Souls-like games, like, I just cannot do them. I feel like I might be able to manage it from a first-person perspective. I feel like that might be my edge. So, I'm hoping... this might be my chance.
I think with that... it's cool that they're trying, like, I feel like the first Ghost Runner, well, the first two, are very, like, fast-paced, twitchy, kind of.
Whereas this seems a lot more...
This is a lot more, like, deliberate and, like, strategic, heavier, even. Which I think is really cool.
I was also a big He-Man kid growing up, so I'm keen on this He-Man beat-em-up. I think that looks really cool. There's just such a wave of those at the moment, like, for basically every nostalgic IP you can think of. I played the Power Rangers one last year, obviously, which is really solid, so keen on this one. And the other thing that I think I saw that jumped out at me, I think you mentioned it earlier, was that new Lego Batman game. Like, obviously, with a son who's about to be 5, loves Batman and all that sort of stuff, but probably not at the age where he can watch these movies, like especially like Dark Knight and fucking the Batman and stuff. He's obviously too young, but this will present them in a way that I think is a bit more accessible for some of his age, sort of get him in familiar with those stories at least, and then when we get a bit older, we can watch the movies. But I really like the Lego games. I think they've got a great sense of humor, and I'm keen to play that with him. And the combat looks cool. Like, it looks very Arkham inspired, like James says in the roundup. So
I think it's cool they're bringing together everything. Like, I thought it was just covering movies and stuff, but apparently it's some of the comics and the games. So they've tried to, like, really just bring together.
Yeah, I guess I like all the references to Batman. Like, and like Matt Berry as Bane. Yes, thanks. Like, that is amazing.
It's just, it just looks cool. I don't know, like, if I'm still
dying for it.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I'm, like, still a Lego person. If, like, I like the Star Wars one, I was like, whatever, like, I don't care about Star Wars anymore. But I care more about this conceptually, but I don't know, like, if I'm gunning.
I remember I was at the E3 when Star Wars was announced and, like, had it behind, and, like, everyone was really keen on it, but then it just kept getting delayed, and I feel like it kind of just came and went without a whole heap of fanfare. But I do think, there's probably a bit more love for Batman and this, for the reasons Brody said. I think, like, kids like Batman.
I think the problem with Star Wars, though, was, like, it got too big too quick. Like, it got, like, became this, like, big epic with, like, all these, like, just too much going on.
Yeah.
And I think the casual audience especially doesn't want all that shit. Whereas I know this has, like, an open world Gotham to explore and stuff and has local two-player co-op. I think that's really cool. But I hope that they kind of keep the scope narrow. Like, not, don't make it small, but, like, keep it a little bit more narrow to what Star Wars was. I actually thought after Star Wars, that was it for Lego, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I didn't think they'd go back to this, to Batman, or, like, the stuff they'd done.
Yes. One other thing, sorry, that I missed that I've just gone down the roundup and seen. Just a very small thing, but the new team from the Disco Elysium guys, Zero Parades. Like, Disco Elysium was obviously phenomenal. It's a game that I haven't managed to finish yet, but I do want to try and get back and finish it because I hear it's really good, like, start to finish. But, yeah, to see a little snippet of their new game is relatively exciting, even though it seems, based on them showing, like, 90% concept art, that it's probably still a ways away, but, yeah.
I like the vibe. I like the setting.
Yeah. The espionage side of things seems cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Just scrolling. Shannon, you're next.
Yeah, there wasn't a heap that sort of caught my eye, I must say. But it's always hard. Like, this is probably one of the first times I've, like, not watched one of these in totality and just kind of scrolled a list. And it does. It's even more samey if you're just scrolling a list and not watching it without... and not forcing yourself to watch it, I guess. Obviously, Lego was a cool one just because, like, I don't think there was any whisper of that unless I was just not...
no, I don't think that was anywhere.
Which is very rare in our industry that you just have no idea for something that big of an IP. So, that looked cool. Black Myth sequel, again, like, I played a few hours of Wukong. It was never going to be for me, but obviously, it was a massive game and I don't think anyone expected... that to be getting a sequel. Is it, it's not really a sequel, is it? Like, another game set in the world.
I think it is. It's like a... It's called Black Myth.
It's a follow-up, if you will.
A follow-up. But I assume that's like 4 or 5 years away. But they also announced Black Myth like really early as well from memory, didn't they? So that isn't surprising in that respect. But I just don't think I thought it would be here. Ghosts of Yotai getting a Legends mode. Again, I played a little bit of it. I know Yuan really loves it, so shout out to him. He'd be very excited for it. People, like, loved that mode. Wasn't ever expected that Tsushima would get a multiplayer mode, and that was really popular during COVID. So that was cool to have here. Apart from that, yeah, not a lot. So that weird train game was, yeah, like Jet Set Radio is what I thought it was. Like, that looks cool. Is it by?
I don't know.
Okay, just a spiritual. Okay. Anyway, I saw it on TikTok or something. And yeah, Sonic Racing Cross Worlds.
Okay, so this game to me, I was like kind of on board with this. Like, I thought it looked really good, but I genuinely feel like all their fucking advertising is the shit you can buy after the game is out.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And now they're even doing that with Pac-Man as well.
And, like, it's not even Sonic anymore. Like, I don't know. I'm sure there's characters that they haven't tapped yet, but, like, I don't know. It's giving, like, desperate, like, and I don't like desperate. Like, it's not a vibe I enjoy. I said that about the Monster Hunter reveal as well, like Final Fantasy 14, like bringing out those guys again to be like, we're putting chocobos in the game. Like, give it up.
yeah, Deadpool VR. I was interested to, like, when I saw, I know this was announced, but
that does look good. I don't have the meta though, the three, whatever.
It does look good, but we've all spoken at length about how we just don't have that care for VR, and it's I'm glad we're getting something for the owners of the headsets, but yeah, I don't know. Didn't really do it for me.
I'm just scrolling now. Long Gone. I don't know if either of you looked at that.
Is that the zombie 2D one?
Looks like pixely Last of Us, but the mix of like 3D and 2D I think is really cool. That might be enough to get me to play it, even though it looks like a story that I already know.
Are we excited about Indiana Jones coming to Switch 2? A third beat for that game?
Is that the first Microsoft Switch 2 game?
That's a good point.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Starfield was also rumored after that. Not that it was announced here, but yeah. It's quite a good-looking game, so it surprises me that it's the first, above, like, Doom, the Dark Ages, or, like, Forza.
Even like thinking about it now, Age of Empires was announced for PS5, but that would be a good fit for Switch 2 with the mouse. True. So I'm sure that's happening at some point. The one
there
video
was a lot of cool stuff here. Continue, James. I'm just looking. Go.
The routine gameplay looks really good. I think if anyone likes horror, like in any way, shape, or form, like this looks like a really solid. I think it's about
Mickey
an abandoned.
Gordon.
It's about Mickey an
Gordon
abandoned
soundtrack. Yes.
Moon base or something, but there's actual combat in it too. I thought it was going to be just a walking sim, but it's not, which is exciting. slop.
What about the tickle your fancy, Brody?
What about the
I know
of it all.
So yeah, that was a bit weird. I'm sick of talking about or hearing about this game at this. I know that people really like the idea of it, but I feel like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, what do you think this? Because I've heard a few, obviously, rumors and expectations about what their little event will be outside of a release date. Do you think they drop a demo? Because obviously, it's playable at Gamescom, and it's going to be playable here in Melbourne next month. I could see them dropping
when
a
they
demo.
Have. But would they when they have the demo at so many events? Do you know what I mean?
Well, like, I mean, not everyone can travel, and it'd be a big beat for them.
I mean, using that logic, where's the Resi 9 demo? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like,
I think they'll do like cool collector's editions or like vinyls. I expect it'll be more than just the release date, unless it's literally a 10-second trailer of just the release date. That would be funny too.
I think the video has like leaked to be like 2.5 minutes or something. So like it's
okay.
Not
your 45-minute Kirby Direct there.
No, unfortunately not. Nothing.
I'm with James. I'm sick of hearing about it. Like, I know that the people that love Hollow Knight are going to be really happy with this, but I just think like I don't know what's gone down. I'd like to know what's gone down. I just don't know how this has happened in the way that it has after like 6 years.
Just like the random, it's not even like, and I don't, like when we say we're over it, I'm not diminishing the work of the devs in any way.
No.
It's just more like we've had these random ass, like the ROG Ally Xbox kind of, these, like they were doing so well. And now they've obviously signed deals with like at least 4 different people to display something there, right? Like, and it's kind of this, it's just created this, I don't know. I feel like it's oversaturated already before it's even out, but like, I'm sure.
Little
the game
side
will
bet.
Still be good.
Little side bet, do you think the ROG LAX gets a shout out during their 2:45 trailer? Available this day on the Asus ROG LAX.
I think maybe no.
I don't think it will purely because I feel like, yeah, they're doing it on their own. It's just
ROG LA verified.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Alongside Gears. It's a big lineup. Big lineup for that.
It's a huge lineup.
I'm very keen for that.
What
about Fallout Season 2? That's looking good. I love the first season.
I did mention that.
Did you talk about it? Okay. Yeah. Sorry, Brody.
That's all right. That's okay.
I thought you were just talking about games, so
I did start with a little spiel on TV. I don't know if you heard. I also mentioned Sekiro.
I do remember that, but you started
Justin
something
Ferrari.
I had no interest in whatsoever, so I just...
But if you talk about Fallout, if you like, I think it looks interesting.
I'm excited for it.
Okay, I'm
That's
happy
it.
For you.
And spiel.
Onimusha continues to look good, continues to impress
it
as
does,
far as I'm concerned.
It?
It really does. Capcom's going to have a big 2026 as far as I'm concerned.
It's 30th anniversary. It's a big year.
What about Resident Evil, James? I feel like we haven't spoken about it.
Almost. We've got 2 more things to talk about before that. I'm going to actually...
Wasn't this part of
ONL,
though?
It's its own
segment.
I want
us to end
stars.
With Resi.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, Silent Hill F is still weird to me.
Yeah.
This year? I can't remember.
I think it is. That's almost getting close to a drop for me in Fantasy Critic, if I'm being honest. I'm just...
Oh, really?
I'm just not convinced. Yeah, I'm not convinced.
Have you played it early? Have you?
To practice. Yep. Very typical Brody practices.
Very good.
I don't know about this game. I'm so intrigued by it. Every trailer they put out, it looks interesting. But then apparently it's more action orientated, and it's like
it's a new team, isn't it?
It's the team who brought us Resident Evil Resistance.
Okay.
But this is the first time they've led a project themselves. If I am remembering correctly.
The vibe is cool, and the premise is cool.
That's what I mean. But that's what I mean. Like, the vibe and the atmosphere is at such a at odds with, like, the action of it all. So, yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm keen to see how that turns out. The other one that I'm, like, not sure about now, and I kind of, yeah, I don't know, Chronos the New Dawn, that trailer, it's, like, so, like, action-heavy and, like, rock music, and it's just the vibes. It's not what I thought it was. I thought it was going to be a little bit closer to, say, like, Silent Hill cross Dead Space, but now it just feels like Dead Space 3 based on that last trailer. Yeah, yeah. I do think it looks better than Callisto, but I don't know. This game just looks weird. There's something weird about it, and it's out in, like, less than 2 weeks.
That's crazy, yeah.
Mm. And then before we get on to the best thing ever, I'm not convinced Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 is good. I feel like this has come out of nowhere and it's out in 2 months after being in development for like 10 years and restarting twice or something. Yeah.
Don't have strong opinions on it one way or the other.
It was like meant to be a launch title for like Series X and PS5, wasn't it? Like, I feel like really? It's just been such a...
I feel like there's been a number of these Vampire Masquerade games and I can never
there was, but this is like, but this was always the good one. The like, one. The other ones were like shitty, like, you know, not
visual
shitty.
Visual novels. And
if you enjoy them. But yeah, like, stuff like that.
Games.
Not as, yeah, not as lower scope. It does look... The vibes are all right, but I don't know.
I feel like I've lost touch with just like gaming marketing at the moment. Like, I just, you don't know what's going to be good and what's going to be bad. Like, you used to have a sense of like, yeah, it just doesn't seem to be that way at the moment.
I don't feel that way personally.
Okay.
Just
we'll see, won't we?
Like, I just think
one
like,
of us pick it up in Game Fantasy Critic and just hedge our bets.
Maybe Brody can trade it in once he gets code for Silent Hill F. yeah, nice. I just think like the original Vampire Masquerade Bloodlines is like such a one of those revered games that like has a really strong cult following, and I just don't think they're going to follow it up. But I could be wrong. Yeah, Call of the Lamb. I want to shout that out too because I think that looks really cool, and I love that game still getting support, and I think it's one of the best games Devolver has put out in a long ever, maybe. Hmm. But obviously, did anyone happen to watch the Resident Evil trailer at all?
I did, yeah.
What were your thoughts?
I mean, it didn't make a lot of sense to me in the context of everything. Like, I couldn't even remember the main person's name as you yelled at me for, so...
I don't...
I mean, I'm interested. Well,
can it's we even call
trailer.
It a trailer? Is it a good trailer? Like...
What do you mean? What is it?
It's not a good trailer for a game, maybe.
Yeah, like, I feel like... I wanted a little bit more of this. I want to see how this game
It's plays. More for the story nerds, I think. But
you think this is going to be from the game, though, right? Like, it's from the game.
Yeah, like, that's. I think this is the opening scene. Like I'm pretty sure.
Like, it's a... Yeah, okay, it's not a trailer. It's like a segment.
And a flashback, I'm pretty sure, as well.
I mean, for someone who probably wants to see more of the gameplay, like, I don't think it did a lot for me, but...
Yeah, and because this is meant to be super ambitious. Like, it's meant to be very different to, like, 7 and 8. So, like, I just want to see how that is the case. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they haven't really explained that.
What that means.
Has anyone... no one's played it yet, have they? There's been some behind-closed-doors type presentations.
I think, like, people did yesterday or something, and that goes up tonight or something, so...
Okay.
But even so, like, that stuff... is the stuff we've already seen, like that little like house demo or whatever. So it doesn't really show the full scope of what the game is.
Do you think this is just them not wanting to show everything, or do you think it is because like Leon is the main playable character or something and they don't want to show that?
I think it's like a mix. I think it's like Resi, I was saying to you before, like it's like Resi 7 where they just don't show much. They just show like the vibe and then like just let you experience it all for yourself. I reckon they'll reveal Leon in December. Like that's
because it's out in Feb, is it?
Feb, right? Like I feel like that's like that seems like a good point. And they obviously keep giving their trailers to Keeley to show, so that just makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, I must say, I hope they're not. Does it feel like it's going to be an original story, or does it feel like you're going to have to know everything about these characters?
Well, I don't know. Well, I can't. That's what I mean. I can't tell you anything because they haven't shown us anything. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
There's not even like little like nuggets here to like kind of chew on, like in terms of, you know, like speculation and stuff. It's very reserved.
To chew on.
But they've said this game is part of their.
This could be anything, right? Like it could not be Resident Evil, and you wouldn't know. Like it could be any horror game. Yeah, like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. No, I get it.
No, yeah, I agree. But yeah, I'm sure it'll be good. I just need to see a little bit more. Yeah,
I'm keen for it. I don't even feel like I need to see more, to be honest. Let's go.
Well, I hope that they don't. Yeah, I don't know. I think, and it's meant to be like the 30th anniversary of Resi with this game. Like it's celebrating that in a way. So I feel like it might be the end of like a lot of plot threads potentially.
The cloaked guy, like is he? Does that mean anything to you or no?
Literally nothing. I mean, I could make up. Like, I've seen people think it's Leon, and I'm like, that guy's like foaming at the mouth and clearly very sick. I don't think that's Leon.
He looks like Emperor Palpatine a little bit. I think that's giving that vibe.
If anyone is a Resident Evil nut, I think they'll understand what I mean when I say this. I think they're related to like Wesker in some way. I think they're going to try and do something there, but we'll have to wait and see. So yeah. Exciting times. I actually thought the Onimusha trailer was more exciting, personally, as a Capcom person. But to wait and see, won't we?
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Moving on. We'll keep this quick. We'll keep it merciful. Shannon, you and I played Dragon Drive a few weeks ago in the gaps between these podcast episodes.
We did. We were just so engrossed in our Dragon Drive.
I just could not drag myself away from it. So
did it make you want to drive off a cliff?
No. Like, I don't want to... So, my review is up. I think I gave it 5.5. So, that's like a pass, just to be clear. It's... Yeah, We played, I think, an hour-ish of games with, like, full games as well.
And I'm going to be honest, that's all I played, really. I didn't feel like I needed to do more.
3 more hours, just to be sure. I just wanted to confirm my suspicions. and I did. So, physically, it's fine. Like, it works well. Like, I feel like it plays, like, the actual controls and stuff. It's, like, a really good showcase for Nintendo in terms of how the mouse controls can be used in not unconventional ways. but I feel like once you play a few matches, like, that's it. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's, like, 2 modes. There's, like, 10 hats to collect, if that. it's just so bare bones. Like... And I know it's only like $30, but what?
I don't even think that's an excuse, because like Fortnite and Apex Legends and but so many other games are free, like that have more of a progression system. Like there's just for me there's no progression here. Like it's fun. Like I had fun in our hour that we played it, but I literally like that was me done, to be honest. And like that. Yeah, I don't think the $30 argument stands for this one. I think it is a genuinely good way to show off the mouse controls, and it works really well. And it's like a competent online game for Nintendo, but it does feel like it should have just been a pack-in. I actually think this would have been a really good pack-in for the Switch 2, and I wouldn't have done Mario Kart World, and I would have just packed this and Welcome Tour in. And that would have been a good way to show off the Switch 2 and the controls. And I think a lot of people would have had fun with it on day one for like a few weeks, to be honest.
It's pretty hectic too, like on your arms. I mean, I don't know if I'm just, I mean, I know I am unfit, but like.
I mean, I didn't have that, but maybe you were just rolling more vigorously. I was
very into it.
I have heard that.
I don't know long term how this goes. Like, I don't know what they're. I mean,
I think it's gone. I don't even think it's a long term situation. I haven't seen a single person talking about it that didn't review it. Like, that's not even me being an asshole, which is a shame because, it's competent and it's fun. And, like, there was more to it than I thought there'd be from, like, a tricks point of view. And,
The skipping rope is fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I can only do a bunny hop so many times before I'm done.
Yeah. You like who's like no one person is just going to pick this up because you would need like a group of like two other people to even bother, in my opinion. Like you'd want to play with not two even. Friends.
I feel like you'd want five.
Like, well, that's, and, yeah, like and at that's least. The,
and that's what I said in my review. I was like, when you're like with your friends, you're like, hey guys, do you want to play some Drag and Drive? Like who's saying yes to that? But I feel like if you pull out Mario Kart, everyone's happy to just pick up a Joy-Con and play it. Do you know what I mean? Also worth mentioning, no local options for this game at all. It's all online, so you can't even play it together and laugh at how stupid you all look while you're doing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't, it's a weird one, and I just...
It feels like a launch title, like a true launch title. Like
it does, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, where games come out and they're, like, not as, like, in-depth, but they use the hardware interestingly. That's the vibe I get.
I think Nintendo's made a lot of weird choices with launch. I think there was nothing that really showcased the mouse controls, which I still think are fantastic, like with Metroid and other games that I've played that are yet to come. And this, even though it's a bit more gimmicky, like it does work well with like the haptics and just the like how accurate it is. Again, I don't think you're going to be doing it for 5 hours, but like it is a fun time and like a good use.
The haptics are very good. They make you, they do make you feel like, just that connection of like sound, feeling and like vision, like it works really well. It's good. It's good game feel.
It's tapping into all of it.
It's just missing. It's just missing taste.
Yeah, I don't understand how they've sent this game out. Like, make it Nintendo Switch Online. Like, I just don't understand how it's like no game of this elk is going to succeed at a cost.
Mm.
And yeah, we've been through it many a time before. Like, there's so many barriers of entry to this over literally anything else in existence, I think.
Absolutely. But anyway, we'll see. Yeah. Maybe in a year's time, we'll all be playing this and not Kirby's Air Riders. So who knows?
I think the sad thing is it's competent. Like, it works, right? Like, it's not a bad game.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. Like, I think it's great. Yeah. Like, I don't play sports games, but, like, I enjoyed this. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said for that. But yeah.
Yeah. And, like, even in the hour, like, you notice yourself getting better and coming up with strategies. Like, similar to Rocket League. Like, it has that vibe about it. But I don't even... Do you think they're even going to update it? I don't think they're even going to touch it again.
I don't reckon there's plans. I don't think so. Like, why would you? Ask... And then, like, what are they going to do? Like, put out, like, this $30 game and then here's 10 new hats for $10. Like, no one's doing that. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a weird one.
I can't help but feel like, why not tie this to IP? Like, just chuck... But then maybe they don't want, like, Mario in a wheelchair or something. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I'm like,
I don't
do you know
if
what
that's the go. I don't know.
Make it a new IP. Like, make it, like, think of arms. Like, this could have been legs in a way.
The customized, like, there is, they tried with customization with, like, the kitty ears and stuff. Like, that.
Yeah, but that's kind it. Of. That's literally
that, that's
it.
Exactly. Like, that is literally it. Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Nintendo are making weird decisions, to be honest. Like, they're clearly going to be successful, and that is why they just probably don't care, and, like, they just want to continue having games come out, but it's very odd. This and Welcome to a Strange. Strange.
Anyway, this is a purely selfish inclusion, but I wanted to know what Dead Take is like, and Brody reviewed it maybe recently, so Brody... Tell us about Dead Take.
Yeah, so Dead Take is the follow-up game from the team who did Tales of Kinzera Zao, which obviously is more of an action-adventure Metroidvania-type game. So this is a very different swing from them. It's basically, I would describe it as a game about acting made by actors for actors. So obviously Abu Salim, like the lead from Tales of Kinzera, like he has a background in Hollywood and acting and stuff. He's in House of the Dragon, and I think he was in Raised by Wolves, which I think is an Apple TV show.
HBO,
apologies.
It was.
Yeah, so obviously he's got some background there. So where he sort of drew on personal experience with Tales of Kinzera, he's drawing on a different type with this, because he's obviously speaking to the seedy cesspool that is Hollywood and, I guess, the cutthroat nature of the acting industry and stuff like that. And he's basically just pulled a bunch of his friends together to help him make this game, which is a very interesting little... walking simulator, quasi puzzle solving, escape room type game. It's all set within like this really decadent Hollywood Hills mansion, and sort of you gain access to rooms after completing certain puzzles and like finding thumb drives around the mansion that which have footage on it, which you then have to splice together with other footage to get like a greater context for what has sort of happened surrounding the making of this movie that I can't remember the title of. So almost even work? Like Shades of Immortality a little bit, but
yeah,
in a lesser sense, I would say. But yeah, like I would say the acting itself really shoulders a lot of the of my interest in this. Like I think all the performances like are really great, like Ben Starr, Neil Newbon, especially, even like Matthew Mercer has a very small part but is very, very good. Like the acting is just sort of it carries it along. Like seeing these actors that we obviously know typically as voice actors and we don't really see who they are like in these like live action roles because it's like spliced with FMV stuff, like I think it's done really cleverly. The puzzles are sort of whatever. Like, I think they're serviceable. Like, I think someone like James, who would spend a lot of time with, like, say, Resident Evil puzzles, like, I don't think they would challenge you necessarily, is what I'm saying. Like, it's all very low-hanging fruit sort of stuff. But I think if you're a sort of casual person approaching this game, I feel like it'd do the job to sort of keep you busy through the game's runtime. So,
is it scary?
I think the atmosphere is quite good, and there are a few like areas where, you know, they do the whole you're in a room with a bunch of mannequins and they move or you hear shit running around behind you when your back's turned and stuff like that, and I fucking hate that stuff. But generally I wouldn't say it is. They try a few like really cheap jump scare things like the Alan Wake 2 thing where they have like
Ben
Starr scream in your face like as you walk into a room and you're like, okay, that was pretty cheap. So like that, I didn't like that stuff. But I think the atmosphere is quite good, and the way, I guess, it filters you through the world is quite good. Like, as soon as you walk into this mansion, there's, like, a blinking red light near a stairwell that tells you that's where you got to go, obviously, and then it just feels very intuitive to get around from that point. Like, I feel like it guides you quite well. So the moment-to-moment puzzle design, I think, is serviceable enough, but I think, yeah, the story does carry a lot of that sort of heavy lifting, and the story is quite good, I think. Obviously once you piece it all together, and you can miss stuff like very easily. Like I rolled credits but then went back to sort of see other stuff because I was like, I thought Sam Lake was in this game, and then I realized that I'd missed like a whole side part that has him involved, and so I went back and sort of saw that stuff as well. So, and like there's a part near the end where like you get a blue light and you sort of, you get a black light and it sort of, you see stuff all over the walls and like obviously messages and stuff. And like, once you hit that part, there's a little bit of stuff that opens up there that you can sort of explore around and unravel a few more mysteries. So, yeah, cool in that sense. I would say the only thing I was kind of disappointed with is like the splicing mechanic, I suppose, where you sort of merge the films together to progress and I guess, yeah, get better context of what has happened here. It's kind of whatever. Like, it doesn't really, I guess, live up to what its purpose is within the game. Like, it's meant to be this big turning point moment for a lot of these story beats, but it's just kind of like, okay, done, easy. Like, it's not really a challenge, I wouldn't say. So, yeah, all in all, I did enjoy my time with it. It's pretty short. I think it's pretty cheap. So, I mean, it's good for a little evening jaunt with the lights down.
That's good. Nice. Yeah. I'm keen. I liked Immortality. I know it's probably not going to be as like...
Again, yeah, I wouldn't go and expect Immortality.
No, yeah, I'm like expecting... I don't want to say like this sounds bad, but not as smart as Immortality in terms of like the way that it uses full motion video to like...
Yeah, no, I wouldn't, you know, say quite as smart as that. But yeah, probably expect something between something like Gone Home with light Immortality elements. Like it is very walking simulator-ish with puzzles, obviously.
That's cool. I really like, I think it's, is it Jane Perry?
Jane Perry
plays Diana in the Hitman games, and obviously, I think Celine in Returnal.
Yeah, so. She is. Yeah, yeah, it was just really cool to see like a lot of like obviously known actors pop up. Yeah, so that was cool.
Mm. Cool. Well, let's close this chapter in the Book of Life, that is the Press Start podcast.
Episode 485.
lots of chapters. With a rapid fire question. This is a very James flavored rapid fire question. Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3 both hit the PlayStation Network this week as part of like the PlayStation Classics range. Who is playing?
So, they, just to be clear, are these the PlayStation 1 versions?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Okay.
Three, four, or five. Which version, James?
What do you mean?
Sorry, continue.
Oh,
I don't think I have PlayStation Essentials or whatever it is, so or whatever you need, so I don't think I can.
That's okay, Brody. You can actually buy them as well. So
oh, that's okay.
Just play it.
Okay. You told me a couple episodes ago that Capcom are doing just fine, so they don't need my doubles.
They'll be getting mine. I'm excited to play these again. I feel like this is actually...
How long has it been, James? How long has it been?
Yeah, how since
I played? No, wait. Since I played these ones, at least 2 years, I reckon. But this is like, I think if I should quickly say, if people want to play the old Resis, this is the best way to do it because you've got the rewind and stuff, and that makes it a lot more palatable if you're shit at games.
Go buy a PlayStation.
Go buy a PS5 so you can play Resi 2 on PS1. Yeah. So that's a resounding no from everyone then, I'm afraid, it seems like.
That's just a long time.
I haven't tapped into any of the classics, to be honest.
You should.
In slight Brody flavored news, did you see that Rod Ferguson has joined BioShock Studios?
I do.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
We're coming along, baby.
Not fast enough.
Yeah, I think I'll be 47 when that comes out. So.
That announcement was also weird because it was like we've laid off a significant amount of people, but
we've hired
Rod's
Ferguson
here to save the day. Yeah,
and now we're hiring up again to.
Anyway. Oh, well. That was you just.
I think I interviewed on Big Rod, didn't he? He was Gears, wasn't
Big
he?
Rod. Jesus,
he's been everywhere. Let's move on then. Buy Resi 2, Resi 3. Oh, I'm actually repping it. I didn't realize if you're a video person. How exciting!
I didn't realize I'm wearing my Resident Evil.
No, I just threw whatever was on the floor. Okay, so anyway, What the Wiki is the Press Start podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game and the contestants must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess and the round ends after one person scores 2 points. As last week's winner, that's Brody, is in the hosting chair today. So just before we start, a recap of the leaderboard. Ewan is in the lead somehow on 26. James and Brody are second together, I guess, on 21. Shannon way behind on 14. And Harry on 4.
How's Ewan so five to start ahead? Giving that's me. Fucked.
I think he's gotten really lucky with double, like, the sweeps. But that's okay.
And we missed an episode while he was gone, so we've missed our chance to strike, really.
Well,
we should do more
he's
episodes.
He's still gone.
Should do 2 a week.
I'm happy to... Just well, to no, we can't even organise one night. You want to organise 2? Like, good luck. As the great Chapel Roan said.
Babe.
Yeah. So, Brody, you're hosting. Take it away.
All right. No worries. Okay. Where are we starting here? The player controls any one of a wide assortment of characters from a third-person perspective, primarily fighting enemies, solving puzzles, and collecting Lego studs. The game's form of currency. The game is set in Gotham City, with mainly realistic... James.
Is it Lego Batman?
I mean, it is, but there's a little bit more. There's a little bit more at the end. I don't know whether to be that pedantic.
No, I think it has to be the full title. I didn't even hear what he said.
Is it Lego? Oh, wait. Can I try again?
Elaborate.
Is it Lego Batman the video game?
It is Lego Batman the video game. Well done.
Yeah, good.
Well done. 1 point for Jim. All right.
The dogs are contesting.
Yep,
they are.
No, they're not having it. All right. Game number 2. You need to fire up here, Shannon. All right. The game was pitched in early 2006 with an early prototype running on Xbox. The creator wanted to make the most frightening horror game he could imagine, drawing inspiration from the video game Resident Evil 4 and films.
Shannon. Is it Dead Space?
It is Dead Space.
Wow.
Well
wowee.
Shensky.
Look at me go. I know my stuff, my horror.
Who would have thought?
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. All right. The game. Oh, sorry. 1 point each now. We're at a tiebreaker, which at least shuts down the clean sweep. So well done, Shannon. Third game here for all the marbles. The game is a single-player action-adventure game with an emphasis on stealth and survival horror. The player controls someone from a first-person perspective and must explore a space station and complete mission objectives to progress forward in the story.
Shannon.
Shannon.
Fuck off.
the Calypso protocol.
That's not what it's called.
The Callisto protocol.
I'm afraid I can't accept a second answer.
No, fuck off.
Okay, I'm
surprised. I should have called it the Calypso protocol.
It better not be that, or I'm never doing this podcast again.
While avoiding, outsmarting, and defeating enemies. Specifically.
I'm dead. The Calypso protocol. Oh, anyway, that's.
I feel like I'm going to faint. Right. I can't breathe.
Okay, where was I? The player must explore a space station to complete objectives to forward the progress of the story while avoiding and outsmarting and defeating enemies. Specific objectives vary across each of the missions, but can range from activating computers, talking to NPCs, and collecting items or reaching specific areas. Good. The player can turn, climb ladders, sneak into vents, crouch behind objects, and peek over or lean around for a safe view.
James. This isn't Alien Isolation, is it?
It is Alien Isolation. Well done, James.
I should get the point. Just for
now, I did have a loose theme there. I was actually trying to trick you because all those games are like games that we saw at opening night live, but were different. So, Batman Lego was obviously trying to trick you into getting the other Batman Lego game, but you were too smart for me, so it ruined it straight away. Yeah, and then that's like routine, and then Dead Space you could say is like.
I did think routine. I was like, no, he wouldn't be doing that though. That's too obvious.
Yeah. So I almost tricked you.
Shame it wasn't the Calypso protocol.
I know. I don't think I even would have noticed what I said if you didn't laugh. What I say so funny? But anyway, continue.
We can't continue. It's done.
Continue. End it. I can't.
Okay. And with that, points. Well done.
Yes, I'm the winner again.
Good round.
I guess.
With that.
To know about that. With that, let us put an end to this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us.
The goose is back.
Sorry, there's like a goose in the room.
I'm Goose Shen.
Can you mute? Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Brody.
Thank you. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
And the goose is loose, Shannon.
The Calypso King. Yeah. You can follow me at Shannon Rixie. Thank me for being the light of this podcast. The brains just come at me.
Maybe string a sentence together first. I've been your... Oh, my God, it's back. I've been your host, James. You can follow me on my socials at James, @JamesAtJamZ. If you're watching the video, there's, like, both of them are out of their chairs, and it's just me talking to myself. We'll be back next week, and definitely next week, I promise. But until then, happy gaming. Bye.